Think big. Think positive. Never show any sign of weakness. Always go for the throat. Buy low, sell high. Fear, that's the other guy's problem. Nothing you have ever experienced can prepare you for the unbridled carnage you're about to witness. Right. Super Bowl, the World Series, they don't know what pressure is. In this building, it's either kill or be killed. Right. You make no friends in the pits and you take no prisoners.
No prisoners.
1 minute, you're up half a million in soybeans, and the next, boom, your kids don't go to college and they've repossessed your Bentley. Are you with me?
To Turner's Take Podcast. I'm your host, Craig Turner, author of the Turner's Take newsletter. It's free for everyone to receive, same as the podcast. I'm a broker here at Daniels Trading. We work with broker-assisted, self-directed clients. I have a great platform for your phone, too. And also, we have a most popular service category here is the hybrid, which is a mix of both. I write a newsletter for clients for the spec side called Turner's Take Market Alert, and then for farmers, it is the ag marketing. If you ever want to get in touch with me, all my contact information is in the show notes. You can also find it at turnerstake.com or turnerstakeag.com. So let's get on into it. We're going to start with the macro markets. The stock market was excited with the resumption of U.S. and China talks to take place next week. They'll be meeting in person, so I think what I've been reading is the United States is, and the analysts are just kind of glad everyone's getting back in the same room together, and I think they're going to take a more realistic approach with the timeline. I think it's going to, there'll probably be a longer time frame and framework to get kind of a trade deal done. That's what it feels like. There seems to be, there's no quick fix on this. There's not going to be one huge big deal. I'm kind of wondering now if, since they've scrapped everything, I wouldn't be surprised if this starts being piecemeal, where, you know, it's kind of tit-for-tat trading on trade talk. So instead of one big deal. That's just my gut. We'll see how that goes. But that's what, it just seems to be very difficult to get a whole entire trade package, the United States and China, over the finish line. Maybe they can just, I think at this point, they've probably realized there are some probably pretty big things they can agree on, and maybe they can get that done first. So let's hope that's how it goes down the road. That'd be good for the ag industry. As far as the rest of the macro markets and the stock market, we got a Fed meeting next week. Consensus is there's three different options how this could go. No rate change, a quarter point lower, or a half a point lower, just based on the option pricing. And interest rate pricing, it really seems like the market is fully expecting a quarter point decrease in interest rates when we get the next Fed meeting next week. If it's zero, that's going to be bearish. If it's 50, that'll be looked at it very bullish. 25 should be neutral. You can even see, wouldn't even be surprised if you saw some buy the rumor now, sell the fact later when it comes out. But that is what the expectations are. Also, a lot of earnings have been coming out. And the start, we're actually seeing some pretty optimistic start to the earnings season. 80% of the 104 S&P companies that have already reported have been topping expectations, which is very good. The Coca-Cola CEO came out and said, you know, they're really expecting the global economy to take a hit here. And while it's not, you know, going gangbusters, it's actually been holding up very well, which is a little bit different than what the IMF has been saying. The IMF has been saying that the first quarter global trade growth is the slowest since 2012. So maybe there's definitely been some turbulence, but we're not seeing that in the big companies or the multinationals, so I don't know really what to make of that, but I think it's been this whole theme the whole time. Like, there is growth. It's not incredibly robust. It's not a recession. It's just kind of dragging along, and there's really nothing wrong with that. If the, you know, if the U.S. economy is glowing at 2 or 3%, that's fine, and we'll probably, as long as that happens, we'll probably continue to see the stock market go higher over the long term. But that is what we're looking at. So that is the macro background that we have. If we do get interest rate cut, you got to think the dollar, would go lower. I mean, the interest rates, when they come lower, that's inflationary. That usually weakens a currency. You would think the U.S. dollar would come lower. That may help the grain markets and exports a little bit, too. May help the stocks, but I don't think it's going to really matter in the long run. So that's really where the macroeconomy is. Keep an eye on earnings season. It's going to be interesting as more and more companies. We only got about 20% of the S&P 500 have reported. So we'll keep an eye on that to make sure earnings are still strong, see what some of these CEOs are saying. The U.S.-China talks next week are big, and so is the Fed. So there's a lot of stuff going on in the macro markets right now. In terms of the commodity markets, let's hop on over to grains. I've had a chance here to look through my supply and demand tables again in the WASD. There's been a lot of stories out there on prevent plant, what gets abandoned, what the yields are. I would say the USDA says 91.7 million acres planted, or whatever they say is planted. What's really going to be important and different this year is probably harvested acres. Like, usually you take 92% of the planted acres, and then that's your harvested acre. That's how a lot of analysts will do it. And quite honestly, year over year, it's very close to what you get for the harvested acres. This year's going to be very different. So I'm almost thinking the planted acres, almost ready to throw that number out the window and really just start focus on what do we think harvested is. And the plus and minus, the important number here is 80 million acres. Will we have 80 million acres harvested or not? If we have, right now the USDA is saying we have 83.6 million acres. That's kind of tough to fathom right now on 91.7 million planted. But if we do come down to 86 or 87 million acres and get an 80 million acre plant harvested, that makes sense. Right now the USDA has a 166 yield. A lot of people are thinking that's lower, some substantially. I've seen numbers in the 140s, 150s, 160s, or 160. You know, a 155 is something that we've been kicking around here at 79 million acres planted. If it is harvested, if it's 79 million acres harvested, and a 155 yield. You know, we're doing a production of 12 and a quarter on production. You know, if we're 79 million acres harvested times a 160 yield, you know, we're producing 12 and a half, a little bit over 12 and a half billion bushels. Right now the USDA is calling for about 13.8, 13.7 billion production. So how much lower are these yields? How much prevent plant we have? And you know, what does that mean for the production numbers? So kind of we've got a lot of stocks that we can work off of. We're probably going to have ending stocks at 2.5 billion. I would think when it's all said and done. Exports have been slow, so we're probably going to see less exports on the next WASD report for old crop, which is going to add to the new crop carry-in. So and you take a look at our demand numbers, you know, the USDA is calling for about 14.25 on the use. Now, I'm sure feed and residual will probably stay around the same. Food and seed, ethanol. Exports could still come down here with how much, you know, with where U.S. prices are now and how much business South America is getting and how much business Ukraine will get. I can see that export number coming down. So, you know, let's just say we are going to use conservatively at least 14 billion bushels of corn this year. All right, so 14 billion bushels of corn. And let's just assume that feed will come down a little bit because we are going to be feed a little bit more hard red winter wheat. We'll probably see ethanol margins weaken a little bit. Maybe ethanol comes down 25 to 50 million bushels and exports come down just because of the high price where we are now. So let's say we're at a 14 billion use. Let's add in, and we're going to subtract the 2,500 we bring in this year. We're most likely going to be 2.4, 2.5 billion. So to get to a zero line, just to make sure we're at zero line, which you really can't be, but to say we're at a zero line, you need 11.5 billion on the production. And to have a billion ending stocks for next year to keep demand constant with no price rationing, probably going to have to produce 12.5 billion. To 13 billion, which doesn't look like we're going to get there with 79 harvested and a yield of 155. If we do... If we do, let's say, a 180, an 81 and a 160 yield, then we do get there, no problem. And corn's probably, you know, below 4 at harvest. But if we're closer to, you know, if we're closer to that sub 80 harvested and sub 160 yield, we really do deserve to be in the 4s and maybe even higher. What's going to be interesting, too, what when we get that August WASDE report, it really could be fireworks the more you look at this stuff. I will keep it, you know, everyone's saying, you know, why the charts and corn look bearish. One thing you have to remember is, you know, there is price rationing going on right now. All right. When corn is at 425 and we're plus 50 in the Gulf, and Argentina corn is 50 cents cheaper than we are, well, they're certainly going to sell a whole lot more corn than us. And, you know, Argentina is having progress on their safrina crop. They had big production. Brazil had big production. Ukraine, you know, the weather's a little dicey there, but it looks like they're going to have big production too. There's going to be about, just based on the USDA, USDA says they have about 16 million metric tons of leftover corn just to sell if they have to. You know, 16 million metric tons times 39. So that's over 600 million bushels of export demand out there that they could... Now, they're not going to take all that from us, but about 300 million they could. So, you know, instead of us exporting, 2.1 billion. I mean, we could come down to 1.8 or 1.9. Argentina, you know, Brazil, and who is it? Brazil, Argentina, Ukraine can take care of that, you know, for us. So, however, if we get lower than that 300 million, you know, then things start to get interesting with prices. But there is a cushion there. Same thing with feed. There is a cushion. You can feed swine and poultry and, to some extent, cattle, feed grade wheat. You know, you're not going to see a ton of it, but you'll see enough of it to start to just to bring down the feed numbers a little bit. If we start talking 77, 76 million acres harvested, if we start talking yields of 150 or lower, then all of a sudden I really do think we have a chance to run it at $5. But at 155 and a 79, I think we'll go back to the old highs. And the demand bears will point to just how much of an abundance of grain we have outside the world, the big carry-ins that we're going to have from old crop, and also the substitutes available. Plus, when you take a look at African swine flu and some of the other things going on with China and the United States and the trade war, you know, the feed demand is coming down. So that really is the struggle right now between corn. That the more I look at that, all, you know, the August WASDE has the real potential for fireworks. So you got to be careful heading into that. You don't want to be too exposed on the futures. Maybe having some calls going into it. Maybe even start taking a look. If you want to be long, that'd be, you know, a good idea to do it. The thing is, though, after this August 12th report comes out, you know, they will give us the acreage and we'll have a better idea of yields. A lot of the puzzle is going to probably be known. I know we have, you know, frost risk, but we're going to have a much better idea of where this crop is after August 12th. If it's not outrageously bullish, I think we got to start thinking about, you know, when we want to be on the short side of it on new crop. For old crop, I'm already liking selling September versus some of the new crop months. I know that can be volatile, but I do think there is a lot of old crop out there. Farmers that have old crop, that they're looking out at their new crop, and it's not as bad as they thought it was going to be. It's going to have to move old crop. We're already starting to see the spreads widen. The reason being is old crop has to be moved before harvest. Even if the harvest is later this year, and it's going to have to be priced on most likely September. Also, any corn down south that needs to move. And again, I know a lot of it didn't get planted, but some did, and that's going to be an issue too. So I think the September versus East, you're starting to see that to widen. But, you know, in September and March, I've always liked playing the Sep versus May or Sep versus July. I like actually Sep versus May. The reason why I was writing about that bear spread, you know, for an old crop hedge or for a spec play, if you want to play the seasonality of old crop versus new crop. You know, May is really the first month for South American corn, right? You know, the way you got to look at trading grain spreads now, it's not just U.S. new crop versus U.S. old crop. You know, September is an old crop month for corn. Dece is a new crop for U.S. corn. You know, March is new crop for U.S. corn. When you get into May, it's not just new crop for U.S. corn. Now we're starting to think of it also as new crop for South American corn, right? So I kind of, so now we're shorting September U.S. old crop, and we're not just long the U.S. new crop corn, but we're also represents being long U.S. South American new crop corn, which I like a little bit better, and I think the spreads can widen out. You see that even more pronounced now with soybeans and how they act. You know, November, January, March are one way, but they can act a lot differently than May and July, just because the market knows there will be new supply coming out, or it's at risk, you know, in those months in South America. So we almost have, so you almost have to treat the grain spreads like that now. So I like Sep versus May. I think if I'm hedging old crop or if I just want the seasonal play, I do like that. And if you take a look at the market, you can already see September is just starting to lose out a little bit more to Dece. And I wouldn't be surprised if that spread got, Sep versus Dece got to 10 cents or lower on the carry, and Sep versus May eventually get to, you know, 25 to 30 cents, you know, by either first notice day or as we get closer into September and delivery date. As long as this August 12th is not a huge major surprise, but even if it is a big surprise, I don't think it's gonna be. It's gonna be a much more of a new crop story rather than an old crop story. As for beans go, every time I look at these numbers here, I mean, if the big wild, you know, are we gonna have 80 million acres planted? Are they gonna be higher? You know, some of the prevent plant numbers we've been hearing have been crazy. What if we have 10 million acres prevent plant or 12 million acres prevent plant? You know, what if, you know, it's, and how would that work? Would it be 4 million in soybeans and 8 million in corn? Right? You know, and how does that play into the harvested acres? A lot of unknowns. And also the yields, I mean, 48.5 on soybeans. I mean, the soybeans, when you talk to farmers, especially how late some of these have been planted in Indiana, Ohio, Illinois, you're just not going to see those 70 bushel per acre fields probably. I mean, maybe 50s. Some guys have been pleasantly surprised with how things have gone, and maybe they think they'll be in the 60s, but we're going to see some kind of a yield hit. The problem is there's still no deal with China. The exports are going to be under $2 billion. The crush is a crush. That'll stay the same. But we're going to have a pretty big ending stocks to bring in this year, you know, $1 billion, which, you know, 25% of our stocks to use. And even if we have, let's say, 79 million acres harvested in a 44 yield, we're still at about 500 million ending stocks, which is fine. I mean, we're in the mid nines, and next year, as you know, if we get lower acres and summer weather issues, we can even talk about soybeans at 10 again. But it's not going to be, you know, we're not going to have beans in the teens this year, unless, you know, less if the yield starts to get close to 43, 42, 41. Harvested acres are like 79 or lower, you know, then all of a sudden we really are at those levels, you know, let's say 10 or 11 bucks. I mean, if we ended up harvesting only 77 million acres of beans and the yields 42, just to give you an idea what that sounds like, or looks like on the balance sheets. I mean, all of a sudden, with keeping just demand the same, ending stocks are about 150 and 200 million, right? And we all remember what that's like. You know, that's when soybeans are $10, $11, $12. If you're in the hundreds on soybeans for carryout, you're definitely in the teens, I think. It kind of depends on what's going on with corn and wheat too, right? But I think that's where you are. But that's what it has to take, though. I mean, to get to 77 million acres harvested, that means we're planting sub 80. And yields are in the low 40s. I don't know. Unless we get a huge surprise, I don't think we get there. I think it's much more likely right now that the planting acres is pretty close to 80, harvest is pretty close to 79, and yields are lower. But beans but maybe they're 76 or 77. Still, ending stocks are 600 or 700 million, a lot better than a billion, right? But still, that means soybeans are just in the $9 range, and we also have a ton of soybeans in the world market. The global balance sheet for major exporters is tighter in corn than it is with soybeans right now, and it's gonna. Fortunately, with African swine flu, that's not gonna change next year. So, you know, I had a question today. Someone was saying, with all these problems, especially with corn, you know, if we're talking about, you know, production levels of, you know, in the 12 billion area, you know, why isn't corn higher? Why aren't we higher than 425 and in new crop or 430 in new crop? You know, and the problem is what I would remind people is, if we didn't have these issues, if we were really 91 million acres and a 176 yield, if we were 91 million acres and a 176 yield, you know, ending stocks would be close to 3 billion. All right, so let's think about that for a second. We plant 91, 92 million acres. We have a trend line yield. Ending stocks are almost 3 billion, and corn at this point is a dollar lower. You know, we're 325 instead of 425. So, yeah, let's just remember the starting point here. And what it does set up too for next year is that if we have crop issues, you know, then just like we had this year, then all of a sudden we're talking about like the next like hires. Because I went through all the WASDE reports from, oh man, I went back to 2008, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13. And to get to corn, where corn was about $5, $6, two things had to happen. You had to have two crop issues in a row, two seasons where it was in a row. And back then, too, there was also the ethanol demand was building each year. So we were building, you know, we went from 1.5 billion to 2 billion to 2.5 to 3, you know, eventually to 4 and 5 billion usage on the ethanol. And we just couldn't catch up. Plus, at the same time, while this was going on, China was just going stir crazy for soybeans. And so what actually happened first in that 2007, 2006, 2007, 2008 period, soybeans took off first. So soybeans went from $6 and $7 up to $10, and eventually in the teens. Corn could barely, you know, steal away the acres, you know, from soybeans back then. And on top of bad crop years, and the ethanol mandates were kicking in, so there was a perfect storm that happened with, you know, with corn there. So I think we could get to 475, some dry and hot weather, and a bullish WASDE report, which would be the old highs. So let's just say the old highs again. We could test 5 if we get a wildly bullish report, but it takes, you know, to get above 5 at this stage in the game, we've really got to be. We got to be talking about production levels when we're now talking 11, you know, the 11 billion, the 11 billion to 12, you know, under 12 billion, above 11 billion range, you know, to really make that happen. And unfortunately, too, that's just gonna. We're not gonna. When are we gonna find this out? You know, after the crop is made, you know, in August. So this is how I would handle corn right now. I think it's going to be range bound. 420 looks like a pretty good support level. 450 is probably going to be resistance. 470, 475, I think it's the 473 is the last high, is going to be a huge resistance level. I think the bear spreads are going to work for a while here, with the short month being September. Soybeans. If soybeans don't change on this balance sheet, then it has a risk of going lower too, and can kind of weigh down, you know, corn and corn's potential. Same with wheat. There is no export demand for wheat. We have plenty of it. I think the best thing going for wheat right now is if there's issues in like the Russia-Ukraine Black Sea area with production. So there we are on the grains. I know we spent a lot of time on the grain markets this week, but that's what we're looking at. I'll try to update my tables, but here's the thing. If you have old crop out there, or if you're a seasonal trader, I do like selling the September and then being long some of the new crop months. I think that makes sense. For anyone who wants to try to play this WASDE report, that's going to be come up. It has potential for fireworks. I think if I'm in futures right now or in future spreads, I might be thinking to unload those and rather just be in some options, some short-dated options, and play the report. There's just going to be a lot of risk and unknown. And quite honestly, I'd probably buy the options. Start taking a bite now. You know, options that expire at the end of August, and or look at the real short-dated ones right by the report. I am in a cattle spread. We are bull spread cattle. In turn of stick market alert, we're going to stick with that. I like the cattle charts. I do think the cash market's making a seasonal bottom here. I think the futures are going to want to try to break out. We have that bear spread in corn, and we're going to be taking a look at some other things here this week. As always, if you have any questions for me on what we're doing on the spec side of the hedge side, feel free to contact me. Turner's Take weekly newsletter, the podcast is free. The spec trading newsletter and the hedge newsletter is for clients. And again, happy to talk to anyone anytime. All my contact information is in the show notes and on the website, turnerstake.com or turnerstakeag.com. Everyone have a great week, and good luck out there, and I'll talk to you soon.
This material is conveyed as a solicitation for entering into a derivatives transaction. This material has been prepared by a Daniels trading broker who provides research market commentary and trade recommendations as part of his or her solicitation for accounts and solicitation for trades. Daniels Trading, its principals, brokers, and employees may trade in derivatives for their own accounts or for the accounts of others. Due to various factors such as risk tolerance, margin requirements, trading objectives, short-term versus long-term strategies, technical versus fundamental market analysis, and other factors, such trading may result in the initiation or liquidation of positions that are different from or contrary to the opinions and recommendations contained therein. Past performance is not necessarily indicative of future performance. The risk of loss in trading futures contracts or commodity options can be substantial, and therefore investors should understand the risks involved in taking leveraged positions and must assume responsibility for the risks associated with such investments and for their results. You should carefully consider whether such trading is suitable for you in light of your circumstances and financial resources. You should read the risk disclosure accessed at www.danielstrading.com. Daniels Trading is not affiliated with, nor does it endorse any trading system, newsletter, or similar service. Daniels Trading does not guarantee or verify any performance claims made by such systems or services.